Just a quick comment before Bruce continues. Because of an issue with the bulletin, you'll see our hymns are on the board. So we'll be doing some special patriotic music today.
Good morning. Carrying on with what Pastor had said, let me add a little bit of more information, if I may. On my way to church last Friday, when I came to practice the organ, because Dar is taking a vacation day today, and I got to play all by myself, and I says, I better get most of the notes right, so I better come and practice. So I looked up the bulletin that was already out, and there are no hymn numbers and no words in the bulletin today for any of the hymns. Now, that mystery has not been solved yet, so we don't know why, but all we know is this is where we are. So therefore, since Dar is not here with the power that she's invested in me to make decisions today, and since last Thursday was the 4th of July, and myself being an Army veteran, I wanted to make today all patriotic music. How about that? So therefore, that's what we have on the board. So hopefully you can get your trifocals or whatever and see the numbers. So the processional is 718, God of Our Fathers. Praise song, 719, America the Beautiful. We move on to the gradual. The gradual is what was to be selected for today and for this month. And so that is 488, Be Thou My Vision. Then we come to the communion hymns. That'll be in your Bob book, where the others are in the hymnal. And that's going to be the Navy hymn, Eternal Father. Oh, sorry. I gave away my offertory. Communion. There it is. Bob Book 176, which was selected for today, On Eagle's Wings. And then the recessional is 717. My Country, 'Tis of Thee. So may it be a glorious day today. Thank you.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Please be seated.
This morning's first lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 10 to 14. The prophet Isaiah delivers a message of great comfort and hope. What could be more relaxing and nourishing than a mother's body for the well-being of her child? May the Lord be so for us. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice greatly with her, all you who mourn over her. For you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breasts. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says: I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. And you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice, and you will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be shown to his foes. This is the word of the Lord. Today's psalm is Psalm 66, as shown on the notice board and also in our bulletin. Let's read in unison. Be joyful in God, all you lands. Sing the glory of his name. Sing the glory of his praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great strength, your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down before you, sings to you, sings out your name. Come now and see the works of God, how wonderful he is in his doing toward all people. He turned the sea into dry land, so that they went through the water on foot. And there we rejoiced in him. In his might he rules forever. His eyes keep watch over the nations. Let no rebel rise up against him. Bless our God, you peoples. Make the voice of his praise to be heard. Who holds our souls in life, and who will not allow our feet to slip. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Today's second lesson on the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is from Galatians chapter 6. Virtuous living is not a complicated formula or a mysterious recipe. As we behave with humility, grace, and honesty, the path before us is made straight. The subtitle of this section is Doing Good to All. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is the word of the Lord.
Love that Celtic tune. The Gospel of the Lord according to Luke. In our Old Testament reading from Isaiah, we heard a prophecy of the good that God would do in the future. And the Psalm spoke about the great strength of our Lord. And then in Galatians is kind of an intermediate scripture that says, in effect, no matter where you are, no matter what your circumstances are, live in a way that reflects the Lord. And that will tie in with the gospel, which will also be the basis of my amazing sermon that's to come. We'll determine later if amazing is the right adjective. But the concept is that how we live matters regardless of the circumstances. I'm reading from Luke 10, starting at verse 1. The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go and remember that I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a traveler's bag, nor an extra pair of sandals, and don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Whenever you enter someone's home, first say, "May God's peace be upon this house." If those who live there are peaceful, the blessing will stand. If they are not, the blessing will return to you. Don't move around from home to home. Stay in one place, eating and drinking what they provide. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve their pay. If you enter a town and it welcomes you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick and tell them, "The kingdom of God is near to you now." But if a town refuses to welcome you, go out into its streets and say, "We wipe even the dust of your town from our feet to show that we have abandoned you to fate. And know this, the kingdom of God is near. I assure you that even wicked Sodom will be better off than such a town on Judgment Day." Then he said to the disciples, "Anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. And anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me." When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." "Yes," he told them, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven." The Gospel of our Lord.
Please be seated. So this morning I'd like to speak to you about personal mission. In light of the fact that Jesus sent out disciples, we're also sent out. Last week in the gospel reading we heard about, in Luke 9, about followers who wanted to come after Jesus but said, "I have family responsibilities. Let me go and take care of them first." This week in Luke 10, Jesus gives instructions to a group of disciples who are ready to go no matter what, no matter where. And that's a part of what I want to put before you is the call on our life. Yesterday, my entire family went to an ice cream place in Amherst. And of course, what I contributed was my debit card. But it was great. And while we were waiting for about 15 to 20 minutes, my brother and I encountered a man who was a Korean War veteran. He was 88 and just began the conversation, "Thank you for your service." And he told amazing stories of the horror that he experienced upon himself physically, but also upon his friends, some who were maimed for life, others who didn't survive the war. And a part of what, in light of what I want to share with you, is that I felt that we were there to provide affirmation and encouragement for this man who'd given up his life at a very young age, or was willing to give up his life for our nation. And he came back, he taught, he was a mechanical engineer, had a good life, even though his body was deeply damaged. But he had joyful expectation. And so we were able to just listen and provide some encouragement. That is not sharing the gospel, but that is understanding that God places us in situations intentionally for us to be effective witnesses by the way that we live, by the way that we talk. And by the way, the ice cream was pretty good as well. So the concept that I have today is to talk about that idea of mission, that we have a mission. We're sent people. We're here not by accident. I'd like you to think about this for yourself. I asked my son about this 7 o'clock this morning. Why did God put you on earth for this time and in this place? And here was Chris's answer. Mind if I have coffee first? But it's a significant question. Why am I here? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why, not why are these things happening to me, but how do I respond in a way that honors the Lord who lived and died for me? So I think it's an important thing. We have a mission. We're sent people like those early disciples. And three aspects to our mission that I want to walk through: our message, our motives, and our method. Message, motive, and methods. First of all, John 20:21, as the Father sent me, I now send you. When you come to know Christ as your Savior, you are sent. You are not just a happenstance. There is meaning and purpose in your life. There's meaning and purpose in how you're living today. Now, you may think about it like this, that while we support ministries and we have a minister, but there are only about 1.5% of Christians in the world who are vocational ministers like me. But we're all sent. We're called to make a difference by the way we live. We're not all sent to Bulgaria, to the Middle East, to Africa, but we are sent into that sphere of influence that God has placed us in. And we're called to be there as ambassadors for that unseen kingdom. This past week, I ran across this quote from President John F. Kennedy. When I was in high school, he was the first president that I really focused on. And if I could have voted, I would have gladly voted for him. At his inauguration, here's what he said: "We stand today on the edge of a new frontier, but the new frontier of which I speak is not a set of promises, it's a set of challenges. It sums up not what I intend to offer the American people, but what I intend to ask of them." Now, he was a Democrat. Sounds very different from the Democratic candidates for the nomination this time around. But I love that. He is not saying, here's what I want to give you. Here are the challenges I have for you. And when you think about the gospel as men and women who love the Lord, we are given something that is amazing, which is the good news, but we're also challenged that the focus of our life is not simply to ask Jesus into our heart and then go to heaven. It's to live in such a way, as Galatians talked about, that we are a testimony and a witness by the way we live. Most importantly for those who are believers, but also for those who are not. So the gospel gives, but it also has that challenge that President Kennedy talked about. So we're on mission. Here's the message, the good news. If you think about this, it's very simple. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news. That isn't saying what he is asking of you is 15 minutes of morning devotions and prayer. It's a whole life call by the way that you live, by the way that you do your business, by the way that you live your life in front of your three children and 12 grandchildren when they're all in the house that's built for four. It makes a difference. You are noticed. So it's an important thing to grasp the call that is on our life, the responsibility that we have. Luke 10, where we were reading in verse 16, said, "The one who listens to you listens to me. The one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me, which is the Father." So we are called to live in such a way that our life reflects the values of the kingdom. And when we are asked about the hope that's in us, we're to share that, but understand that not all will receive it. That is not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to be life-giving believers who live what we believe, who live Scripture in effect. And so think about the positive effects that we have or results we have when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. First of all, forgiveness of our sins from our past. It's over. It's dealt with. We have a purpose for our lives. We are not here by chance. The things that happen to us have meaning in them and require a positive response from us. So we have forgiveness from our past. We have purpose for our lives. And finally, we have a home in heaven for eternity. Forgiveness, purpose, and an eternal home and destiny. It's a powerful thing. And that is what the Lord provides for us through Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension, and then the coming of the Holy Spirit, that we have those as a part of our lives. And so now the challenge of Luke 10 is that we are being sent out to places that Jesus wants to visit. And a part of what I believe that means for us, that in our sphere of influence, we are called to live out what we believe because we are, in effect, preparing the ground for people who need Jesus. That Jesus, by yourself, by another person, by his Holy Spirit, will come into that place where you live and reveal himself. And you are preparing the ground by the way that you live, by your attitude, even by the way that you handle adversity in your life. You are a reflection of who Jesus is. So the message is clear. Now think about the motive. The motive for what we do and why we do it is simple. It's Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So the motivation is love for Jesus, love for other people. That's a powerful call on our lives. That's how we're to live. We're not to live in judgment. We're to live in open demonstration of the love of God that was revealed in Jesus. You go through challenging times. You don't need to walk in resentment, but in the fact that God has purpose in me going through this most challenging time in my life. There were times that Tammy and I did not have work. There were times when we had to leave our home. We had no home. But by God's grace, there's always a pathway and there's always an opportunity into a good future. And the ultimate future, of course, is in heaven. But that's an important thing to grasp, that we are here to love Jesus, but also to love others by the way we live, by our attitude toward other people, even those who don't love Chief Wahoo. Personal comment, that ain't in Scripture, but it's in the fertile mind of Pablo. So we have a mission, and so it's important. The message is very clear. Jesus, life, death, resurrection, and ascension. Our motive is to love Jesus and love our neighbors as ourselves. And thirdly, our method. And this will be different for each one of us. But our method is to show it and to share it. It doesn't mean that everything that we do will be unflawed, even when we fail miserably. When our family has been together, my kids have talked about, Daddy, do you remember when? And it was usually something that I did that is now an embarrassment. But even through those times, we show our love for Jesus and our love for others by the way that we respond. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do or say, let it be as a representative of the Lord Jesus, all the while giving thanks to him through God the Father. Doesn't matter what your work is, what your work has been, what your situation in life is, be there as a representative of the Lord Jesus. By the way you live, you are making an impact on the lives of others. And times will open up when you share what is the hope that's inside of you. But most of the time, we're to live in Galatians, that we live out what we believe. We share it. We demonstrate God's love. We show forgiveness. One of the consequences of coming to Jesus, we share our purpose with others. This is why I believe I'm here. One of my grandkids this past week was talking about that. Grandpa, I don't know why I'm here. And I said to him, in part, because you're my grandson and I have dreams for your future. And then he began to talk, well, I do too, but sometimes it's really hard. Life sometimes is really hard. Think back to President Kennedy. I don't want to give you something. I want to put a challenge before you. And that is really what Jesus is saying to the disciples in the gospel. Go and be what I've taught you. Live scripture. A little bit earlier in Colossians 4, live wisely among those who are not Christians and make the most of every opportunity. Don't judge them, but live what you believe, because you are planting seed, you are preparing the ground for that time when they will be open to hear the gospel. So we have the fact that we're on mission, we have a message, which is the good news, we have a motive, which is to love Jesus and love our fellow men and women, and our method is to share it in every way that we can. It'll be different for each of you because God has put certain attributes in your life, certain talents in your life that are unique to you, that will open up areas of influence that the rest of us don't have. And so you use, though, what God has given you in the circumstance that you're in. As believers, we have a choice. I'm the one who speaks and acts. I'm the one who chooses to have a godly attitude toward parts of my life that I'm not pleased with. I'm not pleased with the circumstance of my life, but I believe the Lord has purpose and meaning for where I am. So as you think about your life today and perhaps the rest of today, think about the fact that you're on mission. There's purpose and meaning in your life beyond what you can grasp. God has intentionally put you where you are, put the gifts that are inside of you for today, to live for him in a way that others will see and wonder, what's different about him or her? What's different? And what's different is who's living inside of you, the Lord Jesus Christ by his Holy Spirit. So let's stand now and share together the core of our faith using the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please join me in the prayers of the people, starting on page 6 in our bulletin. Lord God, we give you thanks for your dominion over this land. We give you thanks for being sovereign in this world. We worship you, we honor you, we praise you. And Lord, we especially on this Sunday lift up our country. We pray for repentance and revival. We pray for renewal in the hearts and minds of believers and non-believers alike. We pray, Lord, that this independence that we have come to enjoy, sometimes take for granted, we ask your forgiveness when we take it for granted. Lord, we pray your blessings on this land. We pray for justice and peace. We pray for wisdom for our leaders. We pray that all will be called to do the right thing and will indeed do the right thing according to your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. I ask your prayers for God's people throughout the world, for Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops, Hollingsworth and Love, for this gathering, for all ministers and people, and for Pastor Paul. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the homeless, the oppressed, those in prison, and those on our Advent prayer list on the back of the bulletin. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by him. I ask your prayers for the departed. Pray for those who have died. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day. Let's read the first confession together. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
There were printed two confessions in the bulletin, so I want to skip the second one and go to the absolution. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let's share that now with one another. Thank you. Jason. Bless the Lord, bless you.
Peace be with you.
I'll take it. Peter, Lord bless you.
Beth,
and with you. Share in peace. Lord bless you, Teddy. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Stacy, Lord bless you. Max. Good morning. God bless you.
Peace.
Yes, ma'am. And with you. How are you? Peace of the Lord. And with you. I could recognize your laugh in the dark.
Uh-oh, that's a problem.
She laughs one day at home. Yes. She laughs one day. Absolutely. Peace.
Peace to the Lord.
Good morning.
Morning.
So this coming Tuesday night at 7:00 here at Advent will be our inaugural healing room. So if you would like to come for prayer, or if you know someone who would be blessed by coming for prayer, please come and bring them or suggest to them that they come. This is a new initiative we're taking. We may have thousands show up. We may have none show up. It's in the Lord's hands. So we're stepping out in faith on this in conjunction with Bill Benedict, and we pray that this will be another way for us to worship the Lord and be servants, as we're called to do this morning by Pastor Paul. Pete.
Good morning. Two things. Gentlemen of Advent, it's time to gather again. We're going to gather on the 15th, which is a week from tomorrow night, at the Burntwood Tavern in North Olmsted. This is the new restaurant that opened up this past week or so. It is just south of 480 on Great Northern Boulevard in North Olmsted. It's, if you're going south on Great Northern Boulevard, It is just before Butternut Ridge. It's on the west side of the road. It's right next to the A-Frame Hotel that's just been up now about a year or so. At 6:30, hope everybody can join us there for good conversation and good food. Secondly, more importantly, on July 20th, which is a Saturday night at 6:30, we will be sponsoring a cookout for the church. Hot dogs, potato salad, baked beans, no hash browns, Ray. Hot dogs, brats. It's also going to be a potluck on your part for salads and dessert. So this is a combined effort for everybody at the church. Bring your families. All are invited. And 6:30 on the 20th. Thanks.
Good. Thank you, Pete. Max, would you like to say something about Eliza Jennings coming up? Thanks to Max and all the others in this congregation who take part in this ministry. This is another way for us to reach out and share the love of Christ to those who can't get here on a Sunday. And certainly some of the stories that Max has told me about interactions that he and other members of our group have had with those residents, you're impacting their lives for Christ's sake. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for being faithful and for showing up. Second quarter financial statements are at the back. If Max hasn't already given them out to you, please look them up as you leave. And there will be someone to pray with you in back during communion. Peace be with you.
I am not going to forget birthdays and anniversaries this month, but before that, you know, Ray, you are disappointed about no hash browns. You could bring that as a side. So let's first acknowledge and pray for people who have birthdays in July. If you'd come forward. July is a good month. That's why I'm wish out with you.
I'm going to stand in for my daughter, Nicole. She was born on July 22nd.
I'm standing in for my daughter, Chelsea, whose birthday is next Sunday, July 14th. She'll be 29.
Teddy.
Sanborn, 84.
And I will stand in for myself, July 8th. Let's pray. So watch this. Pray for you guys and for myself. We give you thanks, O Lord, for your goodness in providing life and vitality and meaning for our lives. And we pray for these folks that you would bless them with a year of fruitfulness, peace, and prosperity in all that they do. And we ask that in the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
And I think we need to pray for Pastor Paul.
Oh, I'd love that.
And Lord, we just ask that you shower him with words that flow from his mouth to convince people of the love of Christ. Just give him the strength and the power to continue as he preaches and praises your name on his birthday.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Let's now honor and celebrate anniversaries. What's the date?
I have no idea.
All right.
Last Wednesday, the 3rd, and it's 44 years.
Yes, thank you.
Max?
Max and Barbara Gage, we're about ready to celebrate our 46th anniversary on the 21st.
Awesome. Let's pray for the Gages and the Blossoms, the Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks for the gift of life mates with which we can share all that you have given us. And we pray your blessing on these two couples and others in the church as we acknowledge that it's you that brought us together. It's you that brings life out of our union. And we pray a blessing on this next year, that it would be a fruitful, joyful one. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Keep that up. That is some of the best part of being family and community. Yes, we share the difficult times, but we also share the joyful times. As we prepare to participate in the Lord's Supper, let's present our offerings to the Lord. We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened up to us the way of eternal life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Just before we continue with the consecration, earlier I prayed, therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. Some of us have friends and family who are part of that company in heaven that join with us in worshiping the Lord out of gratefulness for all that he has done and is doing. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup. And he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts, O Lord. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Please join with me in prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen. Now, as you go to enjoy this wonderful day in this wonderful country, go in peace and serve the Lord.